Thank you for joining with us for another episode of Morning Briefings here on the Pipeline Intercession for the President and on our podcast. If you have any dreams that you have about the Office of the President, please send them to pip@christiancenterstreetport.com. We're so thankful that you all have joined in with us on this prayer journey, and we look forward to standing with you not only today, but in the days ahead. So with that, we'll go ahead and join today's broadcast as we talk about the news and stand on the wall for this nation and the Office of the President. Good morning, everyone. Zach Carskadden coming to you live from North Carolina on this chilly Friday and before Thanksgiving. And today we want to close out the week and really close out on some reminders for next week, making sure we really stay on the wall even during this next week and in a time of busyness with family and friends. Hopefully everyone is able to be around this coming week as things start to slow down. And today is in the news is no different than any other day. And we wanted to go back, and I haven't talked about this in a while, and we want to stand on it. And this is more so, I'm saying this for myself, because there's a lot that's going on right now that can be very frustrating. And if we're not careful, we can let our emotions get the best of us and get out of control. And part of the biblical guidelines, foundations that we have been reminded by through some prophetic is to keep our emotions in check. And what we say here is let's check our emotions at the door, because at the end of the day, our goal here is to pray for the office of the president so that souls can be saved and we can reach the destiny that God has for this nation of spreading the gospel of the kingdom to this nation. And the biblical foundations on that through scripture are Ephesians 4:26, be angry and yet do not sin. And also 1 Peter 5:8-9, be of sober spirit and be on the alert. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. And so there's our biblical basis for why we're standing here with our emotions in check on the wall and with the prophetic as well, to pray for the office of the president. So with that, I want to go ahead and dive into the news. There's not a lot of stories I want to get through today, but I do want to go deep on this first story. I'll spend most of my time on this. Is last night you probably saw, or this morning you woke up and saw that House Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy was speaking on the House floor, and his eight-hour-long speech delayed the vote for the Build Back Better plan, Bernie Sanders' Build Back Better bill, in the House. Now, the House Majority Leader Steny Hoyer at midnight basically said, all right, enough's enough. You've gone on long enough. We're going to delay the vote until 8 a.m. today. So they're in the process right now, as I speak, of voting on this. And so after this video, we'll see that it will most likely get voted out based on party lines out of the House and into the Senate, where there is the real battle and something we want to continue to pray about. And we know if all things stay even of Republican and Democrat party lines, you are going to have two publicly known senators, Kyrsten Sinema of Arizona, Joe Manchin of West Virginia, who have come out publicly and stood against that bill for a myriad of reasons. And we want to continue to pray for them. And so our prayer point, I'm going to give this prayer point, and then I want to go kind of deeper into some of the issues, deeper issues around this. And so we want to continue to intercede for both Republican and Democrat congressional and Senate leaders to stand against this Bernie Sanders spending bill that the Lord has shown will cripple the next 3 to 4 generations. So I'll put that in the show notes later for those listening via podcast. But I do want to go through some news reports that have come out about the CBO's analysis of the Build Back Better plan, basically the socialist utopia Green New Deal bill. And the reason this is important for us to stand against this is because if this bill is allowed to pass, not only pass, but the way it's being passed will give, especially for the next 2 years, really, where Democrats will still hold the majority, be able to circumvent the laws that are put in place via the foundations of this country. And it starts economically, this country, down a road that are unforeseen going down this socialist utopia that America in modern day hasn't gone down. You go back and you study history and the founding, they tried the socialist model. It doesn't work because the roots of socialism are antichrist, Babylonian in a sense, and it de-incentivizes people from the very foundations of it. And so it's been tried literally at the founding of this nation, and it utterly failed. People died from it because of it, because people weren't willing to work. But I don't want to go into history lesson there. But I do want to go into this analysis where the CBO did come out with an initial analysis of this Build Back Better plan. And they have stated that the bill would add roughly $160 billion to the deficit over 10 years and almost $750 billion over 5 years. There's varying reports. I've seen $367 billion to the deficit. So it's a myriad of things. And there are portions in the bill that are, quote unquote, set to expire. They have these sunsets that they're supposed to expire, but as is anything with government, once it's passed, it's not pulled back, it's not stopped, especially in American government. And some of those programs include extending the increase for child tax credit, which there's an issue on that. I'll get to that in a second. Earned income tax credit, universal pre-kindergarten child care subsidies, and Affordable Care Act increases in subsidies, which we're still learning what is in the Affordable Care Act. From several years ago, the famous line from Nancy Pelosi. Now, an issue with the child tax credit is that, and I think people should be aware of this, is you have illegal immigrants who are crossing the border. You've had those who have crossed the border who now have children, and some of them have children's children. They can receive these child tax credits even without a Social Security number. And for those who think that Social Security is their saving grace, is sadly mistaken, because the reality is that it has been stolen from for other issues and is going to be stolen from if this bill is passed, because you don't have to have a Social Security number to pull from it, which means that those people who are pulling from it aren't putting in from it because they're not paying taxes. That has been seen. Go look at California. That's why it's in a complete budget deficit, because they have more people pulling out than are putting in. And look, Social Security, as a reminder, Social Security was intended and would have worked. It was intended in a glass box to actually work. The one thing that prevents the Social Security system from working is the fact that Roe v. Wade was passed. Because now you don't have enough people paying into the system as those who are pulling out. Now you have more people pulling out than are putting into the system. Therefore, it's why they're burning through the funds faster than they can put money back in. And also the fact that they steal from it at any whim to pay for this, pay for that. Because it's money that's sitting there. And a couple of years ago, the estimate was that in 2037, Social Security would be no more. But if you have things like this that are going to pull from it and drain from it even faster, it's very, very possible that it will end sooner rather than later of that 2037 mark. Now, you have pushback from, which this is very interesting. You have pushback from Janet Yellen, and I want to read this comment that she had about the CBO And she says, well, they don't really understand what's actually in this bill and what's going to happen. And I'm going to read this comment, and then I want to read six things that are really in this bill that we need to be aware of and understand why we're standing against this bill. And Janet Yellen said, through this bill, she says the claims from the CBO are not true, that ultimately they will not widen the deficit at all, because her argument is that the provisions in this bill for boosting the IRS enforcement would bring in more revenue than the budget office estimate. Meaning, well, they just don't understand the bill, and here's how we're actually going to do it. And this is the narrative that the Biden administration is saying of, well, this is a zero-cost bill. This isn't going to cost anything because why? Because they're going to add 84,000 IRS revenue agents to be able to go out, tax you via the tax system, and punish you for not doing something correctly. There's so many loopholes. There's so many things they could write you up on, because the tax code is very difficult to understand. That's why certain people hire tax accountants, to be able to go through it and make sure they're doing things properly. You look at President Trump. Is the reason he won't and doesn't release tax records is because, and it takes years to go through an audit to make sure things are done correctly, is because there's so many things that you can get tripped up on if you don't do it correctly. And for someone of that financial magnitude, that's why it takes so long for an audit to be done. Now, I want to go through these six things that was put out by Anna Marie McLean, who is a lawyer for The Stream. And she does a very good job. This is a Pat Robertson news organization. A very good job of explaining on a very, very basic level some of the problems in this Build Back Better plan, the Bernie Sanders bill. And I want to touch on some of them. And we've talked about some of these, but as we go into next week, I think it's good for us to remind ourselves why we're praying, why we're standing. Not only we understand the spiritual aspect of it, but now we understand the natural, remind ourselves of the natural reasons as to why. And obviously, okay, first is increases in taxes of everyone, at every income level, not just those making over $400,000, which the Biden administration has claimed. That has been exposed as an utter and complete lie. We've gone through that. Also, and this is exactly the reason I read this Janet Yellen quote, is because this is what it does. It weaponizes the IRS. They will add auditors to go after, because this bill puts funding aside for the IRS to be able to hire auditors, to be able to do jobs, to be able to increase, quote unquote, increased revenue. The government does not have a revenue base. They have a tax income from cash flow income from you and I. They don't make money. They don't make anything. To be able to say you have a revenue means that you're making a product and selling it. It doesn't mean you're taxing. This is tax income from taxpayer dollars, U.S. citizens. So the statement by Janet Yellen is very, very double-minded, and it is very sloppy. Also, the portions of this bill which are not being talked about are the fact that this is basically the Green New Deal split up into several pieces via the infrastructure bill on this bill. It's basically pushing this agenda forward, and it's starting what is called the U.S. Civilian Climate Corps, where the U.S. supposedly will hire activists who would receive government-provided salaries, housing, medical care, and food in exchange for their advocacy going around the country, making sure policies that such were in the Green New Deal are implemented, and they're being called the climate police. And this is in this bill. This is why we're talking about this. And we put Rick Joyner's message up a while back for those on the, who are a part of the pipeline group. And for those listening via podcast, there's also a book that Rick Joyner talks about this very issue of the issue around climate change and his research and analysis that he went through from talking with a lot of climate experts and more so advocates of, it's called Living Dangerously by Rick Joyner. I'll put the link in the show notes. And it looks at a behind the scenes look of a documentary he did and research that he did of asking questions to people on the ground in America about certain issues and really finding that it is a climate. There are issues that need to be, especially as believers, we need to, you know, care for the land, healing of the land, protecting the land, making sure we're doing the proper things with the land, not just allowing toxins to go into river streams and into certain aspects of the country. But at the end of the day is what is actually need to be done versus what is actually a political agenda. And that book and that sermon, he talks about, the general view of it, but the book goes into deeper. I'm actually reading through it now. It's very, very eye-opening. Also, we talked about number four issue on this that she points out is discourages family businesses and farms by raising capital gains tax rates. Also, the potential of potential capital gains on investments, which is unheard of, and also intensifies punishing fines for violating OSHA's employer vaccine mandate. We've already seen that with the $14,000 per violation per employee, $70,000 for serious violations, and also the fact that they have not denied ruling out the possibility of going after smaller businesses. This is only implementation of those for big businesses of those over 100, but they have even, we play the clip here, the Surgeon General of the United States says they have not ruled out the possibility of going after smaller businesses. That would be very, very harmful to just the backbone of the economic system within America. And then also it rewards illegal immigration. Now, with that, all that being said, we've talked about it here. Hopefully you've seen the reports that there are 7 million people who have exited the workforce via the COVID system and the mandates, the shutdowns and everything. So you have 7 million people. And the play for this bill is for Democrats and progressives to lean in harder to the socialist communistic policies that they, the utopian that they think will work. And the reality is in that there are about 2 million who are at the retirement age, and they just took retirement early. So of those 7 million who exited the workforce, the reason I bring this up is because the play here is for the next election. Is they're hoping that enough people will continue to vote for policies to get government handouts versus those who will vote against it. Now, there's a whole movement at play that God has, you know, behind the scenes of Jehovah Sneaky that we'll see what happens. And the whole parent school issue is really rising up. And look, a lot of these people who are voting against Democrats are Democrats themselves who have supported these politicians before. But as you saw in the Virginia governor's race, is because they say things that are extremely derogatory towards parents, parents are going to stand up and say this is enough. So this is one thing we want to keep in mind this next week as we pray and intercede for this nation, of what the realities are if this bill is passed, and what the future will look like in this nation. Okay, a few things I want to touch on before we close out for this week is that there's news rumors coming out that's a possibility of Kamala Harris being removed as vice president. Those are nothing but hearsay, nothing but rumors. I'm here to put that to rest. And there's a lot of smoke coming out around it with the whole approval rating with Biden and Kamala dipping and diving as it did for Jimmy Carter and with high inflation. And there's a big smoke, big hoopla around the fact that the Kamala Harris's communications director is leaving, supposedly because of a tiff between the president's team and herself. Look, within the first year of any administration, you're going to have your highest turnover ever. Because what usually happens is after that first year or after the campaign, especially coming out of being a new president or political leader, you have the campaign staff who shifts into being the administration, the staffers for a politician. And usually after 12 months, they themselves leave. And so it's not unusual to see this happen. And the reason I bring this up is because it is very easy for people to say, ooh, yes, we want her out. We want to get rid of Kamala. While I don't disagree with those sentiments, I also want to put in check of ask the question. I'm not saying this is what I'm hearing from God. I'm just asking the question of, does God want her to remove or do I want her to be removed? That's the question I'm asking myself. And if she were to stay in office, what if God were to leave her in office so that the younger generation who would advocate for some of the things that she stands for, maybe God wants to leave Kamala in office to see the policies that they've been taught, these socialist utopian policies. They've been taught for so long that will work. We're going to solve all their problems based upon what they've been taught. And maybe God's using this to expose all that so that for the future of America, we can get back to having not only the economic prosperity that we've had, but the fundamental freedoms that this nation was founded upon and the biblical moral backbone that we've had. Maybe God is using this to awaken a generation who has gone, who's been taught because of an abdication from everyone, really, and not just the church, it is really everyone, and awakening people to understand that this nation was founded upon we the people being involved, and not just letting a small sect rule and dictate over us. And so that's a question I propose, is in all this and seeing all this, are we believing the hype because we want to believe the hype? Or are we asking God, what is your will in this situation? Do you want her removed? Will she be removed? And or are you keeping her in there? Do you want to keep her in there so that the realities to the policies that she stands for will be exposed? I put that out there because there's a lot around this. It seems like a good thing. Look, if they're willing to keep Joe Biden, who has dementia, like there is no qualms about it. And today he's going to get his yearly physical at Walter Reed. So it'll be interesting if they actually release that. They didn't release it for Trump. All the doctor would say, come out. Oh, he's fine, whatever. We'll see what the doctor says on him. It's very interesting. But if they're willing to keep Joe Biden there, I'm pretty sure they're willing to keep Kamala Harris in there, despite the poll numbers. What we do want to pray about is we want to continue to repent for the Biden administration's double-mindedness and intercede for the Holy Spirit to come into the White House and open the eyes of the staffers and those who are there and for the Lord's enemies to be scattered. Because in all of this, hopefully prayer is that people's eyes will be opened to the policy decisions that are being discussed and implemented in this nation via this administration so that in future generations, they will realize that this stuff does not work, has not worked, and will not work moving forward. Look at Venezuela right now. That's the road that those are the policies that are trying to be implemented. China itself. Okay. One of the last things I want to talk about is this story from the FDA that it supposedly needs 55 years to release the data pertaining to the Pfizer vaccine approval. Now, there's two things that are very interesting about this. Number one is if you remember back to our prophetic word for this year, the number to watch for this year, 5782, is the number 55. And if you calculate it out for how long it will take for this data to be released, it will be nearly 55 years if they go at the pace of 500 pages per month, given that it is 329,000 pages that the FDA is supposedly reviewing via a Freedom of Information Act request. Very interesting there. I'm not sure exactly what it means, other than the fact of it's just a number to watch. Maybe, you know, hey, why are they hiding things? What don't they want to be out? And secondly, is there's an organization suing to have this information be released. I'm trying to remember the breakdown. It's this PHMPT organization, Public Health Medical Professionals for Transparency, who have asked for a Freedom of Information request from the FDA about the about those 329,000 pages of why the Pfizer vaccine got approved. And in the lawsuit, it states about the importance of it. And per federal law, which is what this lawsuit is around, is that after a license has been issued via the FDA, the following data and information in the biological product file are immediately available for public disclosure unless extraordinary circumstances are shown. And so what this organization is saying is, look, there are no extraordinary circumstances. And you need to release this information to the public so that we know, because this is, well, number one, federal law. Now, again, the question pops up of what is the FDA trying to hide? So I point that out and call out what we've been standing on here of our prayer point of interceding for these golden court cases to continue to arise and for Lord's will to be done through them. Because it's very suspicious that the FDA would circumvent federal law to hide the information around the Pfizer vaccine. Why? I don't know. That's what would be interesting to see and have people, organizations like this, to read through and look through and see why certain decisions were being made. Even though we know we're finding out that trials and things haven't been done and are now being executed on the American public and on really every country throughout the world. And lastly, this is a story, a little bit of personal interest here. One we talked about on Monday, but we want to continue to follow. And I just want to add a little bit of caveat is that, okay, Enes Kanter from the Boston Celtics has been calling out China, Turkey, other nations that he is aware of who have committed human rights violations. And directly for him, being as he is wearing a Nike uniform, is the fact that NBA has partnered with China and Nike itself has partnered with China in just shutting up and dribbling. And the interesting point of why this is a big thing for him and why he's speaking up about it is if you remember the whole tit-for-tat debacle with Laura Ingraham and LeBron James about when she told him to shut up and dribble and he kind of popped off at her, and rightfully so, that he has every right to speak up as an American on issues that he finds relevant to speak up about. And Enes Kanter says, okay, if you're going to speak up about these issues, let's speak up about them. And so he calls LeBron out and he tweets out money over morals for the king, principles over money and morals over money, and on his shoes, and calls out the NBA, calls out China, causes all out. Now, the interesting thing here is not only the fact that he calls them out, but that one of the big things to realize of why they're keeping their mouth shut is not just the fact that the NBA and China have made money off of slave labor camps in China, but also the fact that I think what is missed a lot is these NBA players during the offseason, a lot of times go to China and tour. They do camps and sales stuff with China and with Nike in China and with Adidas and Reebok, with all the shoe companies. And they make a lot of money doing that. So this is part of the reason why you have NBA players shutting up and dribbling. And this is, I'll say this, is the reason I think it's very important to talk about this is that Enes Kanter is losing playing time as he speaks up about this. And he talked about, he's like, look, I'm willing to deal with the consequences of this. And he is doing that. By him speaking out currently, today, he continues to lose playing time. And some people can say, well, he's just not that good of a player, blah, blah, blah. He's a 7-footer. There's not a lot of 7-footers out there. And he's on a team that has struggled to find a big man in the past. But also at the same time, he is a very good player and has every right to speak out and say what he wants. But to have that be part of the reason why he's not playing is very interesting. And the NBA stands behind him because it would be a disaster. It was a disaster when they didn't stand behind Daryl Morey. And so the interesting thing here is he's continuing to speak out, unlike other players who, when controversial topics come out, do not bash in away and are scared of the consequences of it. He's standing up despite the consequences and speaking out for truth. And look, he is, from my understanding, not a believer, but hey, someone's willing to speak out for truth, I will stand completely beside them. And exposing not only the hypocrisies, but in this instance, humanitarian crisis via the slave labor. So with that, I'll close out. Thank you all for following with us. We hope you guys have a blessed week next week. Whether for those who are working, those who have time off with family and friends, to really reflect and look back at, you know, all the blessings that the Lord still has given us in this nation, despite the troubling environment that we live in with the high inflation and everything coming down the road. God has still blessed us, and let's be thankful for what the Lord has provided for us and understand that we've reached this, we've attained this prosperity, this lifestyle here in America, because we've relied upon biblical moral values in the past. Have we been perfect? Absolutely not. Yeah, that's why we repent. All sin falls short of the glory of God. And so we want to thank each and every one of you for following along. Don't forget, we'll be back here today to close out the week with our noon prayer. And we'll take off next week for Thanksgiving. And then we'll be back the following week to continue our stand for praying for the office of the president and this nation to reach the destiny that God has for this nation of spreading the gospel of the kingdom to the nations. So blessings, and I'll see you guys after Thanksgiving. Have a good one.